We'll call this meeting of the Landmarks Preservation Commission for November 13th, 2019, to order. And we will have our acknowledgement that we're holding this meeting on the traditional lands of the Puyallup Tribe of Indians. We'll start with a roll call. So members that are present include Commissioner Sundstrom, Commissioner Morgenroth, Commissioners Williams and Johnson, and ex officio Commissioner McClintock, as well as Commissioner Bartoy, who is speaking. We have no Mr. McKnight this evening. Just getting that noted for the record. But we have his better replacement, so making it more fun here with Ms. Kukama. All right, so we'll move to the consent.
For the neighborhood council meeting?
Yes.
That's in the one, what's the number?
243.
243, they moved it, sorry.
Yeah.
And we'll have this happen to us frequently during the course of the evening.
Is this permanent?
243, and the purple air is somewhere else, too. So purple air is there. And we have many things going on here. Are there any additions to the consent agenda? I have one addition to Preservation Planning Board business. Ms. Hookhammer is going to give us an update on the Hearing Examiner Halloween festivities. So hearing no additions except for that one. So is there any objection to that addition? Hearing none. Do we have any objections with moving forward with the consent agenda by unanimous consent? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move forward with that consent agenda. And we have excusal of absences for Commissioners Mortensen and Stewart this evening. We also have minutes from our meeting of October 23rd. Are there any additions or corrections to the, I should say corrections really, to the minutes from the 23rd? Hearing none, is there any objection that we move? We approve those by unanimous consent. Hearing no objection, those are so approved. We had one administrative review. I assume that no one had any issue with that, as always. And hearing that we still do not have our applicants present, we'll be switching our design review. We'll move after the board briefing. So we will have our board briefing of 506 North L Street first. And the owner is here.
Yes,
Mr. Ryu.
Yes.
If you want to come up here and sit, we're just going to have a a staff report.
So the packet you submitted is up on the screen.
Okay.
So you can just
Great. Use that. Thank you.
Thank you. Built in 1900, this is a contributing property in the North Slope Historic District. The commission conducted a site visit on July 24, 2019, and the applicant is now here seeking feedback on the attached proposal to rehabilitate the deteriorated structure to include multiple units, which they're working through with land use on the number of legal units. The proposal includes replacement of the siding with LP wood siding, new Milgard Ultra Series fiberglass windows, replacement deck, and new fiberglass doors. During the exploratory demolition, the pillars on the front porch fell down due to structural inadequacies, and most of the other architectural details have been removed. I know that you did receive a stop work order in September.
Yeah, it was 23rd. For the it was for the demolition part, but I did get kind of go back and file all the permits for that.
Okay, so this is just a briefing. There's going to be no action today. Sure. Commissioner McClintock did submit the packet, additional materials that I've handed.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the commissioners received that. You guys pick up your materials that were up on the front of the room. These were Commissioner McClintock's comments.
Okay. Thank you. And would you like to hand the floor over to you?
Sure, absolutely. So I submitted a few pictures of
One second, sorry. New Tacoma, are you looking for a new Tacoma?
Yeah.
243.
Sorry. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I submitted a couple pictures as I acquired the property and kind of going through it. Houses, to my understanding, talking to the neighbors, hasn't been lived in since the mid-90s, and so it was kind of left in a state of kind of severe disrepair during that time. And so as we went through, again, these are kind of just the preliminary pictures of the home as it was acquired. So you kind of see here that a lot of the windows were either kind of blown out or replaced with aluminum windows in the past. This, all the siding here on the side is an asphalt, was an asphalt siding over, kind of cladding over the entire structure, so front and side. Front and rear of the home. So kind of going through, I know that there's concern in terms of the level of demolition, and part of that level of demolition was, as we went through, it was a lot of, there was basically, because the home has been left in disrepair, it's been rotting. A lot of the structural beams had rotted out. And so that's kind of why we kind of started removing things off as things were, you know, as we found rot throughout the house. I kind of see here that these windows were kind of boarded up and then replaced with aluminum windows at some point, you know, sometime in the past. Again, on the siding, kind of multiple penetrations here on the siding. I kind of give you an idea of kind of this areas of rot that we're kind of encountering as we're kind of doing the exploration of exploring. Kind of some of the asphalt siding was removed off. In terms of the front decking section, when we kind of pulled some of the paneling veneer off, in the corners here, because again it was so neglected, there's no gutters on the front sections. This corner was completely kind of rotted out, and then also these structural pillars. You'll kind of see here that they kind of started falling off. Basically, you kind of push laterally a little bit, and these bricks would all kind of come crumbling back down, which is why I kind of made the decision to say, hey, it's not going to be structurally sound. And usually on the demolition,
needs comma.
Yeah, I'm representing 507 something towards.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You are one of our applicants.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so some of these kind of stone pillars, those are really nice pillars. I mean, and they look really nice, but just a little bit of kind of a lateral pressure, and they all came kind of sloughing off to the point where we didn't, it was basically my guys just kind of pushed, and these all the pillars just came falling right off. Front corner here, I just kind of showed you, and that's maybe, I can see if I can kind of zoom in, but that beam is completely rotted out. And same thing with the opposite beam as well. So it was one where I don't want to kind of go and do more than I absolutely need to, but this was kind of, it was just kind of a structural rotted out. The other thing with some of these, and this picture was taken after, but this was packed with birds nesting and rat droppings and other rodents that had gone into the structure over the years. So these bays here in the corners were just kind of packed with bird nestings and rat droppings and such. So then there were the floor plans down below. So that's kind of the nature of kind of where we're at the moment. I guess any questions?
Yes. Yeah, we can open it up to questions and comments from the commission.
Well, I have a question.
Sure.
These architectural details that you've removed, have you saved them?
Yes, we have. So the pillars in the front have been saved. Yeah, they have been retained.
When you say pillars, what exactly are you referring to? You're not referring to the columns, are you?
The columns, yeah, we did retain the columns. The columns they were hollow columns, basically. They were just kind of, it was completely hollow. It was not structural. It was just kind of four pieces of one by that were pieced together.
Mm-hmm.
But I did retain those. I did retain those columns.
Did you retain the stone from the under support?
The stone pillars there. We did, but it was basically kind of stacked stone, and so I'm not sure how they had built it, but it was not cemented together, and so again, it was normally that stuff would require like a demolition. We didn't hire any kind of like demolition equipment. It was literally just kind of lateral. Just you hand pushed it, and it came right off.
So can maybe you tell us what you saved? Did you save windows that were removed? Did you save trim? Like, what's been saved?
We saved all the windows that were removed off. in terms of, we did also retain the siding as well. So all the siding actually has been retained as well. And so, what I was hoping to do is kind of remove the siding, have you guys kind of decide how you want to go forward with our siding piece. Because what I was hoping to do was basically kind of rewrap the house under the siding was we kind of rewrap it with a house wrap. So I do have a peel and stick that's what it's a water, it's a basically kind of creates a water and air barrier to kind of create a better shell for the interior of the home as I finish it out. So the hope was really to kind of modernize the use of the home so that it's more energy efficient, and then kind of re-side the house as you guys would like to see it re-sided.
And there was so a it had shingles on the second story and a lap band with
correct
with just shiplap on the lower level.
That's correct.
And that was what was original underneath the asphalt.
Correct. That's right. Correct. Yeah. And again, this is the siding has I have retained all the siding pieces. So the idea is kind of remove it off so that I can kind of again modernize the use of it. Wrap it and then replace the siding as you guys kind of want to see.
So one of the things that bothers me the most about this when I saw what had happened here is particularly the cornice detail has been completely removed and replaced. You've actually replaced it with a simple barge board fascia here,
and that piece we can replace as kind of as you would like. It was basically part of it too was that there was rot that was happening on those
I'm sure there was, but when we had the site visit, Commissioner Johnson was very clear that you needed to provide the commission with a condition report of each facade for what you had exposed at that point, for then the commission to decide what needed to be removed and what could be replaced and so forth. And now that's all gone. The siding has all been taken off. You've supposedly kept it. But then I see, as we walk around, for example, here at the at the bay window, this has been filled in for smaller windows. And same thing with the window on the east side closest to the porch.
And the bay windows can be reopened up. And so that was one where my contractor went ahead and just closed that in. But as I have, I'm on standby to say if we want or need to reopen those up to larger windows, that is a piece that is absolutely possible.
And then on the west side, it looks like new window openings have been cut in.
I've not cut anything additional into the window.
Have you filled anything in? Because it certainly appears to be filled in.
Which one? So there's two smaller windows on the west side and then that large opening.
Well, here's a picture that shows these are now all square. None of the window openings along this side were square. They were rectangular to fit the existing windows. Now they're all square.
And yeah, that again is my contract. He went ahead and did that without. And so those can be, I can reopen those as well.
So to me, just speaking to the commission here, there's been so much damage done to this house that I think that what we need to do is to request the Historic Preservation Office to hire an expert to do a forensic condition study to show what has been changed, what has been filled in, and to come up with a set of recommendations for what can be replaced and how it should be replaced. Because what's happened here is essentially all of the architectural details in this house have been stripped off.
I would like to say that that's not necessarily something that our office typically does. Mm-hmm. We typically go by the historic windows, I mean, the historic pictures and compare.
I know, but there's been so much damage done to this house. I mean, this is comparable to 811 Ainsworth.
I guess staff would disagree that it's a demolition. And I think that the work that's been done can be repaired to look like the historic pictures.
I think it is too, but I think it's beyond this commission sitting together to be able to decide for this client what those things need to be. We need to have another expert opinion to make that determination.
Well, usually
for the
process
commission.
Is that the applicant
writes
up the plans
and
then we use
the usual process,
guidelines.
But usually the applicant has followed the process. In this case, the applicant did not follow the process. And in fact, a stop work order had to be put on it to stop what they were doing. And it should have gone on much earlier.
When was the stop work issue?
September.
And we had the site visit in July. So, you know, within a couple of weeks of July, I was expecting to have you come before the commission to present, okay, here's what we found. We found rot here on the porch. We found this and so forth and so on. And this is what we're proposing to do, you know, but you went ahead and started.
Right. And then that was my mistake, and I didn't understand that guideline. I read through the guidelines, and so when I was reading through the guidelines, I felt like I was kind of within the parameters of the guidelines, which as I read them. And so I probably didn't hear the condition, kind of wanting the condition report that early into the process. Mm-hmm. But I was reading through the guidelines, and same kind of I was reading through what was acceptable within the.
Sure. And the commission may have allowed you to do many of the things that you have done,
right.
But it's the commission's decision to make that, not your decision. And that's the problem here. And now we've got to go back and figure out what has been changed and what remains and what's the best way to move forward on this. And I think that requires a level of detail and expertise that the commission itself can't provide. And I'm sorry to say it, but I mean, I don't really trust the client anymore. You know,
so.
Well, I mean, I just want to kind of point out that, again, these window openings were closed well before I acquired the property. They were replaced, the previous owners have replaced like cheaper aluminum windows, closed some of these window openings in. And so, again, some of these openings we can, you know, we can go back and restore this. I'm more than happy to restore those openings.
Yeah, I understand that. But figuring out what it is that's the issue. It's so much detail has been taken off of the house. Figuring out what that needs to be and how it needs to go back on.
So I would like to say, though, that he only has the responsibility to restore it to the condition that he found it in. He does not have to take it back to the original. There's no requirement to upgrade. So, and the house was in very bad condition. We can definitely take that recommendation, you know, if the commission so feels to find, you know, further analysis. However, I think as staff, we would feel it's up to the applicant to use these historic photos and provide us with a proposal.
Well, the commission
can judge that.
The concern I have is the newer elements that have been added, like this roof. Obviously, you replaced the roof. And that in no way looks like the historic structure at all.
Yeah, and how I found it was basically they had taken out that porch and just left it as a flat opening. Basically, it was just a flat, exposed opening. Mm-hmm. With kind of exposure inside the house. And so basically, with the large tree that was originally in the way, it was basically just a highway for raccoons and other rodents to penetrate into them.
But my point is, you have created a roof line that is not original. And so you removed an original roof line and then replaced it with this, which is like
the siding was consistent. The siding on the kind of both sides of that bay window are the slope is consistent. What I did was I did kind of cover over and kind of run that line consistently, but the sides were...
Well, you just get rid of the porch. It's got the same pitch, it looks like.
It's the same pitch. Yeah, exact same
it
pitch.
Doesn't... From these photos, it looks like the pitch went well up into the...
I didn't change the pitch at all whatsoever. I did not change the pitch.
I think it's just the perspective of the...
Just the perspective of the photos.
Yeah.
It's a little bit lower than what you're doing.
So it was to kind of carry that pitch all the way across. And I didn't, I mean, it was basically a flat opening that went, that you kind of originally kind of see the rails that were there.
Mm-hmm.
But those rails were definitely not there from my original pictures when I first acquired that property. Here, you know, the mm-hmm. rails were not there.
So the roof was flat there in front of the kick out, and you did this? You made the
I basically connected it.
See, there's so many details here. That's why I say that it needs to, that the commission acting as a group like it does is just not going to be able to deal with all of this.
And I guess my challenge was, the 1977 photo was, I mean, it gives kind of reference to mm-hmm. how it was, but again, how I found it was.
I understand that, but to me, you've done so much destruction to the house that it now constitutes an issue of actually more like new construction. Mm-hmm. And so the Secretary of Interior guidelines talk about with regard to new construction or even replacing items, that you use historically available photographs to do that.
So we actually can't use the SOI standards, though, for this. We have to use the district standards and design guidelines that are on file with.
Well, I guess why don't you tell us what you're proposing to do.
What I'm proposing to do is I am going to go back and use lap sightings throughout the home. Again, my intent really was to have this home fit into the rest of the neighborhood and restore it, because right now the home was very much a blight to that neighborhood. And my hope really was to be able to kind of restore it into a modern use interior, kind of efficient modern use interior. And I'll kind of put a bit of a script on here.
So can you tell us window-wise what's going to happen? What's going to happen with the front porch? What's going to happen with the siding? Those are my biggest concerns, I guess.
My plan for the siding is to use the 4-inch reveal, so a smaller reveal. I was going to use an LP siding, which is a wood-based. If you want me to go back and use Hardy siding, I'm happy to use Hardy as well. In terms of the windows, I was using Milgard the Ultrex, so it's a fiberglass window. I've not ordered windows since obviously kind of window openings is important, so I have not ordered. But in terms of material, the whole house will be the Milgard Ultrex windows. So it's a fiberglass window throughout. In terms of the porch, I'm planning to rebuild the porch back to exactly kind of to where it. Kind of the footprint of what it looks like, and I will be kind of restoring that kind of that detail in terms of the columns, and so.
And you still have those columns.
Yeah, I still have those columns.
And the front porch stairs are obviously still there.
The stones.
So what you've got, you've got to try to recreate is the stone posts that were underneath the porch.
Correct.
That you said were too far gone to save.
Yeah. It was just not, I mean, when they built it, they just kind of stacked it and loosely connected mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, no, I totally have seen that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think what we'd like to see is like a material list of what you're going to do.
Yep.
And obviously what's been done has been done. And it didn't meet with the requirements of the commission.
And I do apologize about that. I wasn't aware that mm-hmm. the amount of that was going to be excessive beyond kind of what we were comfortable with. And again, I was kind of reading within the parameters of those.
So what I'd like to see is, I would like to see personally, and I'm speaking for myself, is an elevation of each side of the house,
yes.
what the windows are going to look like mm-hmm. when it's finished.
Yes.
What the siding is going to look like, what kind of siding it will be.
Yes.
If you've saved the siding and you've got enough wood siding to use on the front facade
mm-hmm.
and you can match that with wood siding on the sides and the back, then, you know, I think that's probably the best you can do. I would be surprised after that siding came off if you're able to reuse it, given how brittle it probably is. But I think that's what I would like to see happen. I mean, we don't have any elevations of exactly, you know, what the size of the windows are going to be.
Right. And that's because I haven't, in terms of window openings, I didn't want to
right.
close or open anything more. So I kind of want to leave it in place as much as possible, and then have you, you know, make sure that the window openings are going to be sufficient
so
to what you're
I think what will be helpful for us is for you to come back to us with very detailed drawings about what you propose, so that we can have something to react to.
So this is just kind of a quick rendering that I had composed up, and so that's kind of what I was hoping to.
And I think this is the issue with having
moved beyond what you did.
You've made your job harder now.
Yeah. Are you?
And now this is because what you have here looks very, very different than.
That's not what was originally the house looked like, and that's not what you removed, right? So that's not going to work for us. You've got windows in there that look nothing like the original windows that were removed. You've got pillars in there that look nothing like the original pillars. You've got wood stairs instead of the concrete stairs. So that doesn't look anything like what it did originally, and we can't approve that.
Okay.
So we're going to need to see, you know, each side of the house, and I'd like to see a comparison of what it looked like originally from historic photos and what you're proposing. And I think that's the way we need to go. We're not going to approve these windows, for example.
Again, I have not ordered the windows, and so
yeah.
That's good because
the windows in that drawing are not going to fly.
Do you have historic windows still?
In terms of the windows, yeah, I still have the windows that were in place. And again, part of the removal is so I can kind of detail them. But again, as you kind of see from the side pictures, there were a lot of them were either blown out or destroyed as mm-hmm. kind of as vandals were kind of in the house, or they were just simply replaced with aluminum. Mm-hmm.
Can the wood frame be repaired?
What was that?
The existing wood frames, can they be repaired?
They're pretty well shot, but again, I still have them.
So I think you'll probably have to provide that. I'm sorry.
No.
Provide that to the commission, photographs showing the condition of those historic wood windows and whether they can be repaired or not.
Sure. I mean, if you can kind of scroll back to the back picture, you can kind of see that some of the windows someone had put bars in them just from a security standpoint.
I think that's part of the documentation that we're mm-hmm. discussing and requiring here. We hear it all the time when folks come here. The windows are horrible. The windows are this.
Right,
the windows
right.
are that. And that's not information that we can use.
Particularly for the front elevation.
Right.
If you can rehabilitate the original wood windows or put in even new wood windows to match, you know, if you are almost there with the historic ones and need one more, instead of putting that one in as a fiberglass, I think that what I'm hearing, and I wasn't present for the site visit, but we have a real challenge as a commission with trusting applicants to execute what they bring forth as a plan. And it's even more challenging when they don't bring forth a detailed plan, and then it adds a whole nother layer when they go rogue and do things different than discussed without
and
a plan.
And that's really not my intent.
So,
I mean,
understand. So what would help us and help us set an example for other applicants too is if you could literally go through and number the windows, original size of the window, because you can measure it from the openings that are showing, was this. It was this type of window.
Right.
We're replacing it with the same unequal sash or equal sash configuration, or we're restoring, you know, and as Lauren mentioned, having a inventory of what you have that might be
right.
able to be rehabilitated,
sure.
particularly for the front or visible from the front. And I would say the same thing for trim details, because mm-hmm. all of that personality has been stripped. So we don't just want to know that it's going to be 4-inch lap siding. We want to know what the outside corners are, what the inside corners are, with how are the windows cased, what's the projection on the sill, is there an apron on the sill, what's the casing, what was there originally, and how close can you replicate what was there originally, so that we will be able to follow through with making sure that you do what
right,
you propose,
correct.
So that we're approving something that follows district guidelines,
okay.
and that we're making sure we have a plan for implementation.
One recommendation may be to hire a preservation consultant
mm-hmm.
for some okay. guidance.
And just so it's clear, because I think I heard
mm-hmm.
you say that after the site visit in July, kind of their work continued, and it sounded like you were using the guidelines as your way to continue work. So
cool.
it's clear though to you now that those guidelines are not something to be used to move forward with the project, right? I mean, it's clear that's not
Right.
Work is stopped. You have a stop work order. The guidelines are things for the commission to assess. It's to help you create designs that would follow the guidelines. And then those are what the commission uses rather than kind of handing you a plan to go out there to work with, right? So I just want to make sure that's
clear. Also to communicate to your contractor, because you're saying that he's closing in windows that are the wrong shape and size, and that may be because there's no clear plan in place for him either. So to have a documentation where you can say, this is what's been approved by the commission, period, this is what we have to implement to make sure that you don't waste money having to do and undo things in the field.
And that's, I'm sure staff's walked you through, but I mean, that's what's going to happen. I mean, you're going to put forward a very detailed application that will go before the commission for approval. And then, you know, once approved, that is the marching orders of what you're approved to complete.
Sure.
Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to mention that needs to be addressed is the cornice replacement that's happened. So that, as you were saying, needs to
be part of the package.
Needs to be part of the package, and because it was still there. I mean, what we're seeing here in these inventory pictures was still there. It may not have been in great condition, but it was still there. So, and it's all gone now. So.
And you're saying you saved those things, correct? The cornices and all that, all the trim detail that you took off the front, you saved?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the siding, I did save the siding. In terms of the columns, those columns have been saved. In terms of the, so everything that kind of felt like it could save that was not
completed. So you know what we're talking about, right? We're talking about kind of this crown detail along the rake edge of all the roofs. You have a flat fascia board up there now, and originally there was an applied crown over the top of that.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about with the cornice.
I want to say it was a flat board prior when I first
applied. No, it wasn't, because I remember it looked, it was still there in July. So one of the things that I noticed immediately when I looked at the...
Yeah, you can tell just on the historic photos that, that there was relief.
And I think they appear in your photos here from July 14th in the application packet. You can see them.
So that in your list of what the plan is, we want to see what that is as well. And then recreating the pillars, if you are able to reuse the stone, or if not, what material you propose to make it look like. I mean, clearly, you're not going to build it the same way because it was structural to begin with. But, you know, that rendering doesn't feel right because the columns kind of come down over that open mesh panel, which so like your mind goes, well, where does the gravity go? And there's this light, airy stuff under the, So the pillars are there. They're important visually because they help the brain make sense of all the load transfers.
I think you'd be well served to get an architect that's used to dealing with the historic district to help you, because they're going to be able to look at the historic photos. They're going to be able to give you some plans that we can respond to, so you're not just spinning your wheels on your own.
Oh, appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other feedback?
I guess just to end on a little more positive note, I know we all wish would have gone about it a little bit differently, but thanks for, putting some money into it. I'm sure the neighbors appreciate putting some money into a house to spend there. So just obviously didn't go about it maybe the right way at the beginning. So hopefully we can come to a solution that retains what's left and can restore it back to as close as we can get it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think when I first acquired it, I kind of reached out to Ruben. I said, hey, I'm open in terms of the exterior of the home. I'm really open to how you guys want it to look. I don't have any kind of set prerogative of this must look this way. I'm kind of open to, hey, if you, I'm open to taking your feedback and saying, let's apply and kind of, because the house is in such disrepair that I was hoping that I'll get a lot more feedback. Saying, this is what we want
to
see.
I think what we're trying to summarize is put back everything that you took off that we wouldn't have let you take off.
Sure.
Right. Make it look like this.
Well, it's not like we're trying to make it look like before you owned it, but everything that was still there that was original that you've taken off needs to go back. And if it's new material to look like old, because that's what we would have let you do if you had come to
if
us to
was
ask
rotted,
for permission.
We would have let you
and we need
it.
To give you the same directions as everybody else.
Sure.
So they come and ask first, and we say, no, you have to. Of course, you can replace rotten with new, but you can't just rip it all off and put smooth fascia on it. So that's what we're saying, is put back what was there that you took away.
So I just want to summarize for the commission the kind of the list of things I'm hearing. The inventory of everything that you removed,
mm-hmm.
and photos showing their condition, whether they can be replaced, and reused back on the home. Documentation, photos, you know, showing your process, so whatever it was looking like before, what it looks like now.
Mm-hmm.
Very detailed elevations showing windows numbered with your proposed materials, whether you're going to be restoring original wood windows or proposing new windows. They want to see porch design similar to what was replaced with similar materials, siding reveals, and you know, corner details and all mm-hmm. of that, and trim need to be either what you removed or very similar in material and design, and the cornice as well. If you can replace whatever you removed from the cornice or replicate that in some way, I would say too, you know, it's up to you, but hiring our architect or a preservation consultant that can work with the historic photos and the design guidelines and kind of marry those two would probably be beneficial. Is everything better summarized?
Yes. The one thing we didn't discuss that I'm sure we need to is where we fall on the fact that the roof deck was removed and replaced with roof.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a direction to restore the roof deck.
Yeah, I mean, that was an original feature of the house. It was still there when you purchased the house with that sad, it was flat. The railing had been removed.
Yeah.
And that railing that was there was not historic, obviously. The railing that was there in the 77 picture. So I think, again, that's where you talk to an architect. And I do feel like that flat porch needs to be reinstated. Whether you actually walk out of the house onto it or not, I don't know. But I think that's, again, where you're going to be well served by an architect, kind of. Because even in your diagram, you still showed one window that, you know, that wasn't actually, you know, historic. And then you kind of kept that same look for a single window on that front
right
out, which it wouldn't have had. So I think, you know, again, an architect's going to be able to help you come forward with a design with a flat portion of the roof that's going to satisfy us.
So even if it was kind of sealed off kind of with that, because that window, so that was, you know, even if it was kind of sealed off and closed in prior to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
I also don't want to forget Commissioner McClintock's recommendation. So it's up to the commission to direct staff. Is there a feel that there's a need for forensic analysis?
I think we've got enough historic photos. You know, again, if an architect comes back in front of us and we've got photos of what you removed and what you're proposing, I'm comfortable with that. But again, I do think you need to get a professional involved to help you with this, because I think it's a little, especially at this point, with so much that's been removed, I think you've got to have somebody that knows what they're doing with the historic structures in the district to help you out.
If there were an architect or
not just your builder,
a historical expert working with you, I would modify my claim, but my suggestion. But I do think that that's a real critical aspect of this.
Okay.
At this stage.
Okay. Understand. Okay. Yeah. I do hear. So I know if I bring in an architect to kind of read. Okay.
Well, yeah. I think with so much that's removed, it's almost at this point easier to go back to what you see in 1977
right.
than what you saw in July. You know, I mean, it's really.
I would encourage whoever you hire to talk with staff to get the whole list and not just try to get it from the meeting minutes of what it is that we're asking for so that they can. Get you
started in the right direction.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'd like to echo on this World Kindness Day the sentiments of Commissioner Morgan Roth, the appreciation of you coming into the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So, it is something that's important. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now we will go to the design review. 507 South Ainsworth in the Wedge. Kesh Chavda.
So Kesh is not here, but I'm one of the partners, and Kesh is our architect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to come up here? Sure. Steph, have a report?
Yes, thank you. And I do want to mention that the applicant provided updated plans that were up at the front of the room. So they're not the plans that were in the packet. And I'll kind of go over that. Built in 1911, this is a contributing structure in the Wedge Neighborhood Historic District. The commission was briefed on this project on October 9, 2019. Due to land use and building code conflicts, the proposed second-story deck and basement window wells have been removed, and the applicant has provided these additional plans with that. The project includes the replacement of non-historic windows with new wood windows and matching trim, in-kind siding repair, and a new 13x20 garage. During the briefing, the commission expressed no concerns about the proposed garage. Action requested is approval of the above scope of work. Standards are the Wedge Neighborhood Historic District Design Guidelines for windows, exterior siding and materials and porches, and garages, parking, and new construction. Analysis is that this property is a contributing structure in the Wedge Neighborhood Historic District, and as such is subject to review by this commission. Two, the non-historic windows are being replaced with new wood windows. Three, the siding is being repaired in kind. Four, the porch is being repaired in kind. And five, the proposed garage meets the design guidelines for garages and new construction. Staff defers recommendation pending review of the updated plans that have been submitted. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Do you have any additions to that?
No, I think that seems pretty correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you need a copy of that?
Sure, yeah, we would have been held. I wish auditory learning was my...
Anybody else need a copy?
No worries. I'll go ahead and open it up to the commission for any questions.
I actually do. Now that I'm visually looking at this. So I think at one point we recently have decided not to try. I think there was some setback issues with trying to make what's currently a roof. It looks like it should have been a porch, but it's not a porch. There's no railings. It's just a roof. We proposed to actually turn it into a porch. And tried to keep it within the, obviously, the same image of the existing house. However, I think because of where the other lot is, I'm not even though the footprint, you know, from the sky is exactly the same, I think we were running into some issues and was going to delay our permits by a couple months, so we decided just not to proceed with it.
With the deck.
Yeah, and just keep it a roof exactly how it is.
So our question for you, or staff's question, because back and forth with Kesh. So what are the proposed exterior changes now with the removal of the proposed second-story deck?
So we've essentially, there's not really a whole lot anymore. In fact, all of the siding was pretty much okay. We just got lucky. A lot of it was just, paint that's peeled back. So we hand... with not even using a sander, we hand peeled all of the old paint off. Now we've kind of sanded it down. We've already primed it. I think we're going to be just fine. Obviously, the garage is completely shot. I think we already got approval though to do that. Maybe I'm mistaken.
It was a briefing, so this is the formal approval. So the the demolition of the garage and replacement with a new garage. I just want to be really clear: are you replacing any windows or doors?
No, I mean, we will probably be replacing the front door with a newer front door that's a little bit more energy efficient. But we're not going to be, like, changing the space of that. One of the things that we wanted to weigh, the options for the windows, most of the windows themselves are pretty much completely shot. I wouldn't say all of them. I would say probably about 60 or 70% of them are. That said, we are open to restoring them and just replacing panes and trying our very best to restore them as is. But one of the options we would like to propose is replacing it, I think we were told, with either a fiberglass window. I don't think vinyl was acceptable. But if I believe right, Kesh told me maybe fiberglass or...
Do you have historic wood windows right now?
Do we have what?
Historic wood windows?
Yes, we do. Yes.
I think on that, if that's going to be part of this We need documentation. We have no documentation right now showing us the condition of those windows. So
okay.
I don't think the commission is likely to move forward with that.
With the replacing of them?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Not until you bring forward documentation
sure.
showing us the current condition.
Okay.
And I would say it's really unlikely that we would say it's okay to pull original wood windows. I mean, they have to be really bad.
What would you guys, yeah. Well, and that would actually help us make that decision. We're actually not adverse to restoring them at all, actually.
Yeah.
My question would be, what do you guys consider as, like, okay, this would be acceptable to replace? Is there, like, a...
If it was not an original...
Yeah, I'm talking about, if it is, because they are all original. In fact, pretty much all of them are old wood windows. There have been some that have been upgraded over the years. They have the storm windows as well. They're just aluminum, which, again, this is... I don't know about the person that was here before me, but again, we're hoping to restore this house as much as we can. We don't really want to get into spending money into areas we don't have to. So, like, if we can restore the windows, we have some pretty good carpenters and contractors that can do that. It's just some of them, essentially. I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's, and I don't know. Like I said, it might be nice to figure out an expert opinion mm-hmm. from what your guys' guidelines are. And if Kesh was here, that would help me a lot. I know he's been communicating with you guys mm-hmm. quite a bit. That's our architect.
Yeah. So we have a few options here. We can go ahead, if the commission wants, and approve the garage separately and then defer on the windows
sure.
until you come back with some evidence that they need to be repaired. When we're talking about replacement, we're talking about the wood is falling apart in your hands. Like, that's what we're talking about, not painted.
Like coming
it's dry
off?
Dry rot.
Like, it's dry
it's
rot and the
okay.
frames are just crumbling.
Yes.
Okay.
Painted shut's not
that
enough.
Helps.
Pulleys are not enough. You know, some damage is not enough. It really has to be the wood is complete.
Like gaps between, like...
That's, yeah.
Okay.
Because that can be fixed. Those can be repaired.
Okay, cool.
You know, or if you have some sort of...
Can be repaired.
Yeah.
I mean, it really has to be bad.
Well, in that case, just to help make your guys' decision easier, we'll probably just restore them then. Because
okay.
I don't think any of them would be approved based on that criteria.
Do you have any vinyl or aluminum windows?
I do believe there are aluminum windows that are already in the house.
So
yeah.
those would need to be approved for what you plan to put into those place.
Yeah, well, in that, okay, so yeah, that's fine.
So do you plan to do new wood windows, as Kesh said, or
well,
something
the,
else?
Well, the aluminum, so the aluminum windows that I know of, I'm trying to think of if I'm missing any, but I believe there's one right up front. I believe there's three in the back, and then the rest, this is on the main level, and then the rest are all just old original wood windows. So in this case, we probably would not replace the aluminum windows.
And that's fine. There's no requirement to upgrade. If you do choose, we can handle that administratively because it's an upgrade to a better material. So we just want to be
sure.
clear.
Yeah.
Don't remove any wood windows.
I'd rather not hold up the garage for the sake of a few, you know, deciding on those aluminum windows. Because we can, I think replacing the wood one, I mean, refinishing the wood ones is just fine.
Scroll to that image, the historic image that showed the, I want
And I think for the commission, I think...
Oh, you can't see it. I was trying to see what that window to the left of the front door looked like, but it looks like...
Yeah, it's covered up.
Because there's a plate glass
that
window.
That didn't help, because, you know, it wouldn't usually have been just a large piece of glass like this. So that's
sure.
probably not an original window. So
probably
that's one
sometime.
That if you wanted more of a personality piece there for
yeah.
curb appeal, then
yeah.
since that's not an original window, there would be an opportunity.
One of the
okay.
things you can
that.
Tell in the picture is that the window... starts higher than it does currently.
Is that a shutter on the
it's I don't think it's a shutter, it's the window itself. And there was probably a two paired windows.
Mm-hmm. Or three. Yeah.
You know. I'm surprised that they when they put in the picture window there that they put it in so low. I mean
yeah,
you
I
could
know.
Easily kick it in. I mean it's so
yeah.
low.
yeah.
So I think from looking at it's the sheet number 7 from the new packet that was provided to us, I think is the equivalent of what was in the original packet. But
yeah.
from what I'm reading here, it's all existing to remain. The only thing that I can see that the commission commented on last time during the review, and I think Commissioner Williams, the door was brought up, the front door. And I'm not sure what it was. So if that's stylistically, I remember that I'm not sure how that relates to the original one we saw.
It's in the photo here.
Yeah, I mean, the original one. Yeah, and he's
except if
proposing.
You notice the
and that's what he's proposing.
The bottom rail is much taller on the original one than they do here. So I would look at making an adjustment to the bottom rail.
Okay. Oh, we're talking. I want to make sure we're talking about the same bottom rail.
The front door.
Right, this one right here, right?
The front door. The front not door. The window. Now we're talking about the door. Front
so
door.
It's right here on the lower where it's wood before the glass begins. What they're saying is, if you look at the historic photograph, that the wood actually begins up higher. So the wood on that. So the
I see what you're saying.
It's a smaller rectangle. Essentially, the glass is a smaller rectangle.
Okay.
It's offset upwards.
But I think what I'm seeing here is approvable. If it's existing to remain and you're restoring what's there, and I would say with just a notation that you would match the, you know, I call it the kick plate height, you know.
Okay, yeah, thank you, yeah.
The old original, but it's the bottom rail of the door sash to look more like this. And that could be reviewed administratively so that we're not roadblocking you from proceeding. But if you decide that you do, in fact, want to replace some of the non-original windows with something else, then you need to bring that before us.
Okay.
Or that can be handled administratively.
Yeah, administratively, if it's an upgrade.
But it should it should run through the process.
And I'll make sure that I communicate that to Cash and to get that to you guys.
And then, so, I mean, really the only thing, the garage was the, there was no comments from that for the commission the last time either.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Is there any other comments or questions from the commission?
Mm-hmm.
No.
We're going to allow that door to be approved administratively.
If it's part of the motion. Is there a motion?
Let me see if I can cobble one together. I recommend the Landmarks Preservation Commission approve the application for 50 South Ainsworth with the change that the actual front door be approved administratively, and that if any windows do need to be replaced that are non-original windows, that goes to administrative review as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Motion by Commissioner Williams. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Sundstrom. Is there any discussion on the motion before the commission? Hearing none, we'll move to a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries unanimously. And I'd like to thank you all. I know we had a lot of discussion when I think it was Keshia that was before us before. And I feel as if the commission's comments were really heard and taken back and put in here. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
It's great.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you guys.
And you're clear on the next step. So
yes, I will email you tomorrow or email Cash.
Yes, thank
with
you.
What was approved here by the commission.
Okay, awesome, guys. Hey, have a great evening.
You too. Thank you. All right, so moving on to preservation planning and board business. Item A, I will hand this over to Lauren.
Thank you. So we do have our annual, you know, commission review and amendment of the commission bylaws, district guidelines, and inventories. So far, the proposed changes are inventories, no proposed changes, design guidelines, adopt updated district design guidelines that include language on DADUs and solar panels. There was no proposed language from the commission so far on solar panels. So if you would like to propose some, please send that to staff. Right now, staff's feeling is that the current design guidelines can be used to review solar panels. In the past, we've just said they can't be on the front facade. They have to be minimally visible. So unless you have specific language, we probably continue with that. And then we've included some draft language related to DADUs in the packet. So if you have any comments on that, please let us know, because we would like to finalize this language by the December 11th meeting and set the public hearing for January 8th. So I'll open it up to comments and questions.
And are there comments or questions? I had one thing. So in regards to the wanting or thinking about the solar panels, does this go back to the commission decision we had not too long ago where we had relatively visible solar panels that we approved?
I think so.
Is that okay? So is everyone's okay with just moving forward with how that is.
I think that what we have in the guidelines is adequate. It's, I don't know how we could make it any more adequate than it is. And each case is going to have to be judged as that one was, you know, on sort of the individual merits of the house and what's next door and all that sort of stuff. And that can only be done on a, you know, case by case basis, I think. So,
and I agree with that. And I remember that the, you know, especially with the array and kind of the key being where the solar is picked up. So it is very, you know, case to case when they do that solar analysis.
The one thing,
I was going to just say that probably in the guidelines, there should be a mention of solar panels in the roof section of the guidelines, mm-hmm. so that it's not a big question whether we consider it.
I actually was thinking that there was a section, but that's like antennas and stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Or at least a reference to the correct sections. When somebody's looking, that they will go and find it. It doesn't need to be duplicated.
We're aware of solar.
Aren't they developing solar shingles, though, that you can't really
They're not really in the marketplace yet.
I think we ought to try to preemptively, you know, discuss that as well, the materials that would be used if they're solar shingles. The other issue I had was the DADU. Personally, I feel like 1,000 square feet is super arbitrary. We're saying no more than 85% of the living area of the primary structure or dwelling. I would like to see us talk in terms of percentages there.
So I think that's already in the code, in the zoning code. So that's not something that we can...
That's already what... Because, I mean, there's some very, very, you know, 5,000-6,000 square foot houses where... You know, if somebody wanted
to disagree with you, for example,
2,000 square foot DADU.
But the problem goes beyond that. But it's part of the land use code.
Okay,
yeah, that's
not
us. It's because we don't operate on a percentage of lot coverage limitation. We have a minimum yard requirement, which is actually very, very small.
Yeah.
So our lots here end up being a lot bulkier as a possibility than lots in Seattle do, mm-hmm. because they use a mathematic equation based on the size mm-hmm. of the lot. And here you have to have this little postage stamp somewhere, but it can be any length by width as long as it's minimum this and that, and then all this many sort of thing. But that's beyond our purview.
Yeah, and so. I think that's why really the focus that Lauren was pointing out here is the two bullets under the recommendations. Because we're kind of responding to the mm-hmm. the new zoning there. I like it having in there that we are following those guidelines of new construction. I know that was one thing that we talked a lot about.
Yeah. The only thing that I would like to see us add in there probably would be that not only the guidelines for new construction in the North Slope design guidelines, but also the Secretary of Interior standards as well, because the Secretary of Interior standards cover more ground. Our new construction standards in the North Slope guidelines are pretty lax, and so I think that this would be a place where a reference to that would be a good.
And that reminds me, and I'm not sure how this was settled or if it's a concern. One of the things that did come up when we were talking about the ADUs was the use of an existing auxiliary structure. So someone has an existing garage that they're bumping up or doing something to. how we would handle. I know we have the one bullet about vinyl windows, so that's addressing that, not allowing for vinyl windows in that circumstance. But overall, how we're dealing with that, I don't know. Is that treated?
So generally, when we have any alterations to an existing structure, we would follow the same design guidelines. For garages, what we've usually said is, if it is a architecturally significant garage, you have to keep that. If it's a shed garage that's not significant, then there's a lot more leeway. So I think we would basically follow the same.
Okay.
We're allowing people to tear down the garage if it's not contributing. Mm-hmm.
So if it's a carriage house, and we've had people come in and ask staff about that already. If it's a carriage house or something like that, we want to see it stay the same way on the exterior. And if there's no garage, or if it's a garage that's in no way significant, then there's more leeway to do what they propose. And then it comes to the commission anyway and must meet all these same design guidelines.
Well, and I guess, do we need clarification in the guidelines at some point so it's not seen as arbitrary, I guess? Clarification kind of about the significance of that auxiliary structure, that's going to be something that's considered in when it's brought before us, that if someone's...
Are there any garages that are contributing right now in North Slope or in the Wedge? So the nominations were written that way at the time, right?
So, but is what you're saying, once it's a secondary dwelling unit, so then do we ask for the same standards as the principal
that
structure?
That already is in place, yeah. So anytime the main structure is contributing, we always review any other structures that are either existing or proposed.
Right.
So that's... happens already.
Well, and I guess what I was trying to get away from was a circumstance in which someone would come forward and have that structure, and we'd be kind of saying, well, we think it's significant. It's not already determined to be significant, but we're like, we think this is too significant for you to go for it. So that it's in there at least.
That's already in there.
Okay,
it's already in there that we would consider any changes to any exterior structures.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is already...
Okay, so that clarity is there.
So just to clarify, if it's an existing structure and they're changing the use to make it a designated detached dwelling unit, then the standard that they would use, assuming that they're going to retain the existing structure, would be the same standards that we apply to the principal dwelling. If they are tearing it down,
mm-hmm.
and we agree that they can tear it down, then the standards that they would use would be for new construction for principal dwelling, not... previously, the more lenient
garage structure,
garage accessory building allowances.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is that clear enough in what we've written?
So I think what we propose here is that they use both the new construction guidelines and the garages and parking. So if they want to make it look like a garage, and the commission's okay with that, I guess that'll be open for discussion. Or if they want to make it look like...
Why would that require a reference to the garage section? You could still come up with a design for an ADU, a detached ADU, that looked like a garage, but you wouldn't need necessarily to reference that garage section.
Yeah, I wouldn't confuse it. I think dwellings are dwellings.
Yeah.
Okay. Garages are garages.
Yeah.
So you wanted to reference only new construction?
Do all commissioners agree on that? It sounds like, I can see that there might be a conflict there saying, look at new construction, look at garages that they're,
And again, I think that gets to sort of the issue that you were referring to, which is that we have been more lax in terms of garages and allowing vinyl windows, for example, to be used in garage structures and so forth. And so there was a question of, well, if you took one of these garage structures and now you want to turn it into a one-story dwelling unit, does that mean you have to change the windows and so forth? And we're essentially saying, yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Well, because what that's going to prohibit is people building a garage. It's a garage for 3 weeks, and then it becomes an ADU.
Yeah, that was
the concern that we talked about. Yeah.
I will take these recommendations back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Awesome. And events and activities.
Oh, yes. Thank you. So we had the 6th annual Holiday Heritage Swing Dance at the Elks Temple last Friday. Probably we had over 200 people.
Wow.
It was really, really packed. It was great. We had a great time. So We made $422 in donations.
Cool.
That's better than a stick in the eye.
Tomorrow, right? Tomorrow we have the last lecture in the lecture series, which is Professor Andrew Gomez, and he'll be leading a panel on oral history and race in Tacoma. He'll be bringing in some other professors who've worked on different oral history projects. One of them will be a person from UW who worked with the Japanese American oral history. So I encourage you all to come to Honey. We will also have free refreshments. And listen to that. It'll also be live streamed. So if you can't, follow us on Facebook.
Wow.
So the second professor, is that going to be Honey? That's his name. He's a historic professor, a history professor.
It's going to be
and he's written lots of
Justin Woodland. Woodland?
What is this, the Densho Project?
Yes, I believe it is.
Okay. Honey at Honey.
I'm not sure if there's going to be any Honey at Honey.
But yes, we're not sure about the money. Honey. Thank you.
Oh, something that's not on the calendar. I don't know if you're all on the state CLG mailing list or not. There's going to be a training on the 19th for new commissioners. If you should choose to attend it, it's going to be at the Steilacoom Town Hall. If anybody wants information about that, please let me know. It's going to be going over basic commission basics. And then I will be talking about audience engagement. So totally optional. It's put on by the state. But I wasn't sure if you guys were on the mailing list or not.
No, I'm not. The 19th of November?
Yes. So next Tuesday.
And that's when did you say the new commissioners were coming before the...
Yes. It won't be in time for our new commissioners. Yes, but if any of our commissioners who are currently on the board would like to attend.
Okay.
That's open.
Great. Thank you. And then the last thing that we had added to here was an update on the hearing examiner that happened on...
yes.
Good.
Oh.
Any commissioners who were there like
Williams,
to...
Lester?
It was randomly bizarre. so the applicant came forward and basically said... If I understand him correctly, that they didn't understand massing. And so there was a lot of discussion about that. And then they said, well, we can design the towers to attach to the parapet wall but not be taller than the parapet wall, which didn't make any sense to me. And he said that completely separately that... we had no jurisdiction because of the FTC. So it was this random. Am I right, Lisa? I mean, that was.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for the most part, that's correct. I don't remember the. I think that they had an initial proposal that that could attach to the parapet wall, although they had been told not to be higher than. But I kind of got the sense that they were saying it wasn't necessary for them to attach. But
so it was very unclear.
Yeah, it was
they
a hot
tried
mess.
To submit a new design that they said would be. Less visible, which you cannot do during an appeal because we're appealing the decision that the commission already made.
Mm-hmm.
So any new design would have to come right back to the commission and go through the whole process again. So they opted to continue with the appeal. And then our whole argument was about visibility. So that was kind of a strange argument.
Because they told the examiner they wanted to continue.
Yeah.
Because our attorney... basically said, well, wait a minute, if you've got proposals that are different than what you're, you know, trying to dispute here, then that hasn't, do you want to stop and go through the process of those? And then he said no. And then, like I said, the FTC argument came up. And so the examiner basically asked Lauren to provide information about the fact that that is federally landmarked, it's on the National Register, the building. And I felt the examiner understood our point of view quite clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And there seemed to be a little bit of frustration on his part with the applicant regarding just this kind of, you know, scattershot. So he asked the applicant to provide documentation of FTC rulings. And I think he gave you guys 2 weeks to do that.
Yeah, so I think he gave us until the 15th for both parties to submit anything else they had. They brought up a lot of federal laws, claims, FCC, Spectrum, National Preservation Act,
frankly, we are on a local registered district, so that doesn't even apply. And so our attorney, the city attorney, will be providing those materials, and then they were asked to provide whatever materials they want, and then the hearing examiner is going to take probably another 2 weeks or so to issue a decision.
It did not come represented by an attorney either. So it was, yeah. So I got the sense that Verizon was just like, you figure this out, and wasn't going to dedicate resources to fight it.
They have like an RF engineer.
Yeah, they had the RF engineer.
We've had a number of appeals in Renton where I work with from Verizon on stuff, and usually what they'll do is they'll have their whoever's doing the land use entitlement, and they'll have an RF engineer. Usually their argument is based on, at least in my experience, with providing emergency service coverage, mm-hmm. Which basically we found when our hearing examiner hears that, we haven't won. They've won every appeal that they've had. Right? Not historic, not related to historic preservation, but there's something in, you know, with the FTC and the federal codes that basically, you know, once they can prove to the examiner that they need this site for emergency services, it's game over. So I don't know if that's this is different. I completely understand.
Right, but this is also not a question of, I mean, it would. Our thought was, yeah, it would be super if they would go to a different building, but obviously they're in bed with this owner. So,
sure.
Right. And they have a long-term lease.
Right, so for 25 years or something. So ours is not that they can't have it there. It's that what they're proposing is so over the top with regards to what's already there. And we had been reassured that things would only get smaller, not bigger, and that's not the case.
Yeah.
So I can give some context for the FTC kind of reference. I've run into that with neighborhood covenants that say you can't have a visible satellite dish, for instance, and Comcast comes through and pre-wires all the homes, and then the homeowner buys it. But the reality is that FTC supersedes neighborhood covenants because it's your right to use whoever you want for whatever information service provider you choose. So you're not, you know, Comcast doesn't get the market edge. So in that case, there is case law that says that even though the neighborhood covenants say that you can't have a satellite dish, a visible satellite dish, they can't actually force that. So, but I don't know about it.
Well, the difference is
a government guideline, because those are privately private agreements amongst purchasers.
Well, so. And again, the argument wasn't that they
can't
have
it,
but
it
rather
can't be large.
That it couldn't
it has to meet the guidelines.
It couldn't be bigger than
what's currently there.
Was currently there.
Right, but if they argue that they need that height for.
Yeah, but they already have emergency service provided for what
I'm
they
just
have,
telling
right?
you,
yeah.
They're sneaky.
I've
already there.
Scared
yeah.
That's okay.
Well, we shall see.
By next meeting, December 11th, we should possibly know. Maybe. So
it's up to the hearing examiner.
We could run into a similar situation eventually with solar, because we're going to be required to make all of our new homes solar ready. And so what if your new home solar ready is only on the visible side of your structure and you're in a preservation district? We can't tell them that they can't have solar if it's actually being legislated. They have to be solar
cross
ready.
That bridge with that
solar.
God,
they'll have a big antenna in the backyard.
I live next near a standalone solar panel, so they have a post and it goes up.
Yeah, and that's how satellite dishes used to be.
Crazy.
Big ones in the backyard.
Yeah.
So nice.
All right. With that, we'll move on to the 45 minutes of chair comments.
Oh.
Which I would like to wish everyone a happy World Kindness Day. It is World Kindness Day. Everyone looked at me askance at work when I told them.
I thought
World
you just
Kindness
made that
Day.
Up.
And your job on World Kindness Day is to be, and this is, it was in my kindness calendar.
But where's your cardigan?
Be kind to someone you don't like. So hopefully it's not going to happen now because you're going home to your family. So hopefully you don't have to practice that kindness. So you can carry that over to tomorrow.
Join immediately. The resistance against kindness day.
When I was told that was your mission, to be kind to someone you don't like, immediately two people who were in that meeting were kind to me. And on purpose. So yes, that's how I okay.
Message received.
I know. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, we will adjourn.